And welcome to episode 20 of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast, a showcase for the very best UK parents bloggers. I'm your host Tim from the blog Slouching Towards Thatcham. Each week I talk to a fellow parents blogger who reads one of their favourite posts, and I do the same with one of mine. It's as simple as that. Bite-sized chunks of blogging brilliance. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by the award-winning blogger and podcaster Tom, who writes Diary of the Dad. Hi there, Tom.
Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. So, to start with this evening, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your family, and the blog?
Okay, sure. So, I apologise first. I don't normally sound this hoarse. I've got a bit of a cold. So, that's why I sound like Lucifer today. Be assured, I am me. I'm Tom. I've been blogging at Diary of the Dad for about 5 or so years. I started soon after our first son, Dylan, was born. So it's about me, my wife, Kate, Dylan, and then second son, Xander, and a very recent addition who's born 3 weeks ago, our daughter, Emily. So just write about, you know, life from a dad's point of view, I suppose, and it branched out to include all kinds of other things, just for a bit of variety, really.
You're also one of the regular members of the Love All Dads podcast team, so tell us a little bit more about how all that came about.
I wish I knew, Tim, to be honest. I think I was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, involved in a Twitter conversation, and before I knew it, I was kind of like committed to doing this podcast with three other dads, John, Lewis and Darren. And we've been recording pretty much every week for the best part of 2 years. We're coming up to our 100th episode, which hopefully we'll squeeze in by the end of the year. And somehow or other, we won an award for it at BritMums last year. So that was nice. Very surprising, seeing as it's a little bit shambolic. But people seem to listen to it and enjoy it. And yeah, I enjoy doing it.
Not so much shambolic, I'd say, as unscripted. And I guess that helps people associate with the people behind the podcast in the way. It makes you feel a little bit more real, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, if it's anything, it's definitely very natural.
That's great, thanks. Now, today you're going to be reading a post about Amelie, the most recent addition to your family. The post is fairly self-explanatory, so let me just throw it straight over to you to tell us all about it.
Okay, so this is a post that I wrote while I was probably quite, you know, shell-shocked and probably a little bit sleep-deprived a day or two after Amelie was born. Right, here we go. It gives me immense pleasure to welcome Amelie to the world. If her arrival is anything to go by, she's going to have a flair for the dramatic. We were planning on a nice chilled out home birth, but ended up in a densely populated operating theatre 40 odd minutes away. She knows how to make an entrance. Starting at the beginning, Kate had been having latent contractions for a couple of days. They got closer together, so on Saturday night, we hastily handed over Dylan and Xander to my parents and prepared for the birth. Frustratingly, the tightening seemed to have stopped completely by 11 p.m, so we went to bed. We were soon woken after 7 a.m. the following morning by Kate's waters breaking. There were still no contractions, so I put the kettle on and called our local hospital. A couple of hours later, the community midwife arrived. By this time, the contractions had started, but were fairly erratic. She carried out the various tests we'd become used to over the past few months, and all seemed to be fine, except for one thing. The baby's heartbeat was clearly higher up. She may have been preparing to come out feet first, Jackie Chan style. The midwife contacted our local hospital, who, due to constantly having their resources diminished, were unable to carry out a simple scan to confirm the little one's position. This meant we had to go to the next nearest hospital, which is the best part of an hour away. Thanks, Tories. My dad soon arrived and drove us there as the contractions began to become more frequent. When we got there, the scan confirmed that she was in breech. There was no way we were having a home birth now. There were two options: a breech delivery, which a doctor was very keen to try, or a cesarean. We opted for the latter, but were then told our baby was too far along as he could feel her feet. Then he changed his stance a little. He said they had to try a breech delivery and go for a cesarean if we ran into trouble. He was rather chipper at the prospect of a breech delivery, I have to say. We were immediately whisked down a long corridor and ended up between a delivery room and an operating theatre. There seemed to be a few differences in opinion between staff about which one we were going to, but Kate was taken into the theatre while I was shown into a changing room where I had to put on scrubs. Back in the theatre, Kate was being attended to by at least four members of staff as they prepared her for both eventualities. There were at least 10 people in surgical gear and constant movement everywhere. It was like being in Grey's Anatomy, albeit with people, myself included, who don't look like Hollywood actors. They tried the breech delivery but couldn't be certain it'd be safe. A consultant then appeared and apologised for taking the decision out of our hands, but said that a C-section was the safest option. I don't think he realised he was actually giving us what we'd asked for in the first place. I could have hugged him in that moment. A scream was put up and they got to work. Three minutes later, Amelie was born. The reassuring sound of her cries filled the room. She was cleaned up and presented to us, and the drama was over. Our little girl had arrived safe and sound. The staff were all, without exception, excellent, including the chap who wanted to try a risky breech birth at first. Even though it wasn't the birth we had planned, the fact we now have a beautiful daughter is all that matters, and it's going to be a pleasure getting to know her.
Thanks, Tom. Reading this reminded me of how many similarities there are between our two families. For starters, our names are only different by one vowel, but we also have two boys separated by 2 years, followed by a girl. And while both Isaac and Toby were born at home in our case, Cara's birth also required an unplanned dash to the hospital. Anyway, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this week's podcast.
No problem at all, Tim. It's been an absolute pleasure.
If you want to read more of Tom's writing, go to his blog, diaryofthedad.co.uk, or follow him on Twitter at diaryofthedad. You can also listen to more of his dulcet tones over on the Love All Dads podcast at lovealldads.co.uk. I'll attach blog and social media links on the show notes over on slouchingtowardsthatcham.com. Well, as I record this, it's the week before Christmas, so it seemed fitting that Tom read a post about the birth of a baby, although I can't comment about whether or not it was an immaculate conception. So for my post this week, I'm extending the seasonal theme with my reworking of my favourite Christmas song of all time. Warning, you may want ear defenders for this one. This post is called What If the Pogues Had Written a Christmas Song About Parenting? And, well, you can work out the rest. I will accept no arguments on this one. The greatest Christmas song of all time was released in 1987, but I think I've improved it. Featuring the late Kirsty MacColl, Fairy Tale of New York was the Pogues' biggest hit, and, nearly three decades later, still features on heavy rotation on radio and TV every December. Only the Pet Shop Boys Always On My Mind, for me the greatest cover version ever, but that's for another time, prevented it from being the Christmas number one that year. A bittersweet but ultimately uplifting tale of a warring drunken couple down on their luck, Fairy Tale is the perfect antidote to the saccharine sweetness of most seasonal songs. Hearing or seeing it for the first time every year marks the unofficial start of the run-up to Christmas as far as I'm concerned. So when I was scouting around for a Christmas song to do a parenting parody of, the choice was a simple one. So here is my Fairy Tale of Thatcham. It was Christmas Eve again in West Berkshire. My children said to me, let's unwrap presents now. Then they showed me an app, a Santa tracking tool. I wished a silent wish that they were back at school. Open the Baileys fast, no, it will never last. I saw at Aldi, there buy one get one free, A week of slurring. I love you, baby. Pigs in blankets, sausage rolls, and frozen vol-au-vents. We've got Elf on the Shelf, Christmas Day Doctor Who. If you want a sequel, there's Home Alone 2. There's Wizard and Wham, and there's Mud and there's Slade. And don't forget Bob Geldof and his Band-Aid. Wrap presents, write labels, dress up dining tables. It's a wonderful life on the telly again. Fight for sprouts in the aisles, check out queues go for miles. All the kids still awake say they'll stay up all night. The kids at the Thatcham Park School Choir were singing Jingle Bells. When did Christmases become a living hell? Some wine, warm mince pies, Christmas radio time, Starbucks red coffee cup, put the fairy lights up. All the kids now in bed, eggnog gone to my head. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. The kids of the Thatcham Park School Choir were singing Deck the Halls, and we're hanging Christmas cards up on the walls. I whispered to my wife, what happened to our life? We used to be so chilled before we had kids. Things are just different now. Our girl and our two boys, they fill the day with joy. Wouldn't be the same without them. The kids of the Thatcham Park School Choir will sing 2,000 miles, and we'll see in Christmas Day with beaming smiles. And that's it, not just for this episode of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast, but for 2015. I'm taking a break over the festive period, and we'll be back on January the 8th. But if you can't wait that long, why not take the opportunity to catch up with previous episodes on the blog, on iTunes, or on various other podcasting sites. You can follow me on the blog at slouchingtowardsthatcham.com, on Twitter at ThatchamDad, and on various other social media channels. You'll find links to all of the above, plus Tom's links, in the show notes on the blog. All that remains is for me to say thank you all for listening to this podcast, and hopefully you'll join me again in the new year. Until then, Merry Christmas!